Okay, so he wants a hybrid car that's a little bigger than the Prius and can accommodate a baby seat in the middle of the back. That's like two things.
I have not found a plug-in hybrid that can do that.
The Chevy Volt has a battery running in the middle of the back, so there's no center seat. He says the Ford has no trunk space to speak of, more battery, and the plug-in Prius is not much bigger than the regular Prius, and also doesn't have a spare tire.
I have not found a single hybrid car, I mean a plug-in hybrid car that I can buy that satisfies my, I think, very simple needs. It's a very interesting problem, actually. And you know, it sort of told me why I need to be developing a better battery.
For a scientist who specializes in batteries, car shopping has become a personal challenge. Srinivasan is part of Argonne National Lab's new federal research center trying to revolutionize transportation. The Battery and Energy Storage Hub is the fourth national hub meant to speed up the pace of green energy innovation. The other hubs focus on nuclear reactors, solar power, and energy-efficient buildings. It'll get up to $120 million from the federal government, plus $5 million for construction from Illinois, though Governor Pat Quinn has pledged to try to get even more from the General Assembly. When U.S. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu announced the hub in Chicago late last year, he said it was inspired by the wartime innovation of the Manhattan Project, which led to the creation of the world's first atom bomb during World War II. Chu said earlier in his career, he got to know some of the people who worked on Manhattan.
And what I got from these veterans was that when you had to deliver the goods very, very quickly, you needed to put the best scientists next to the best engineers across disciplines to get very focused on coming and solving a problem.
Scientists working at the hub will come from all over the country. Srinivasan is based at Lawrence Berkeley Lab in California, and there are several other national labs, companies, and universities involved, including Northwestern, the University of Chicago, and the U of I's Urbana and Chicago campuses. The idea is to get physicists, chemists, material scientists, and engineers working side by side to achieve an ambitious 5-5-5 goal. That was the marker that Argonne's director, Eric Isaacs, laid down last fall.
We're going to develop batteries that are 5 times more powerful, 5 times cheaper within 5 years.
Srinivasan, who, when he's not car shopping, will be doing research to meet that goal, acknowledges it's a steep challenge.
But our thought process was, if you don't have a grand challenge, then your ideas will not be grand.
Like others involved in the hub, he describes it in historic terms, even comparing it to another ambitious federal science project from 50 years ago.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
This is like the moonshot for batteries, right? I mean, this is we're saying, this is one of the reasons why we picked a goal that is so hard. Let us make it a hard goal. Let us try to think about an ultimate battery. If we can get halfway there, a quarter of the way there, we're doing much better than anybody's done in the past. But let us shoot for the moon and see what happens.
There's reason to believe human beings have been at least vaguely aware of batteries for more than 2,000 years. Archaeological discoveries near Baghdad suggest a crude form of battery dating to roughly 200 years before the birth of Christ, and the basic lead-acid battery started cars for the better part of the last century. But in our era of cell phones, electric cars, wind, and solar power, we need better batteries. One of the places they're working on that is the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
Okay, my name is Paul Braun.
And so Paul Braun.
Braun, yeah.
Braun. And what do you? What is your title here at the university?
So I'm a professor of material science and engineering in the College of Engineering.
Part of Braun's research focuses on making batteries charge faster. Imagine a phone that charges in seconds or a car that charges in minutes. Improving the batteries in cars is one of the main problems the hub at Argonne is meant to solve. Two of the biggest obstacles to widespread use of electric car batteries are scale and price.
You can make a car that goes 100 miles. By the time you try to make a car that goes 400 to 500 miles, the battery starts becoming bigger than the car.
Double the size of the battery, and the car has to become bigger and more robust to accommodate it, which requires a bigger battery, which requires a bigger car, and so on. This is why most of today's electric vehicles are small sedans, not large SUVs.
You reach a point where, beyond a certain range, the battery weighs more than the car. So now, no matter how much bigger you make the battery, you have to make the car ever bigger, and you don't go any further.
Another big issue is cost. Braun says batteries can be at least 10% of the cost of an electric vehicle. That needs to decrease significantly in order to be competitive with gas-powered engines. And yet, among all the potentially game-changing technology for transportation, including hydrogen fuel cells, biofuels, and batteries, the most promising are batteries. Braun says that's because today's batteries are nowhere near their fundamental limit.
So if I look at a battery today and I do the math, you could make them 10 times better. You know, we're not fundamentally limited. And so because we're not fundamentally limited leads you to the conclusion that if we knew how to make a better battery, we might be able to do it.
Which is why the government is spending millions of dollars to bring scientists and engineers together at Argonne National Lab. The battery hub is still in an early stage, but Stephen Chu, the energy secretary, says American business is counting on scientists to meet their 555 target.
If they achieve those goals, they get to those price points, and then kaboom, all new industries. And that's why this is so exciting, because it touches everything.
Chu says in 10 or 15 years, batteries will be even more central to our technology and economy than they are today. So the scientists are already getting to work on meeting that goal. Five times better, five times cheaper, within 5 years. The clock is ticking. I'm Brian Mackey.
And that story was reported for Illinois Public Radio and Illinois Issues magazine. Like Illinois, the state of Kentucky is trying to get rid of the Asian carp, those species of carp that have moved into Midwest waterways, threatening to crowd out other marine life. So last month, the state of Kentucky's Fish and Wildlife Resources Department hosted a tournament to see who could net the largest haul of Asian carp. Carp Madness was held at Kentucky Lake and Lake Barkley, both about 35 miles from southern Illinois. Michelle O'Neill spoke with Kentucky Fisheries Director Ron Brooks, who came up with the idea.
We had about 15 fishermen who actually showed up for the tournament. There were supposed to be 22. That was a little disappointing. About half of those were actually professional fishermen. The rest were just people who wanted to do their part type of thing. And they do some little bit of fishing on their own for fish fries and stuff like that. But all in all, when we look at the totals, we had 82,900-some pounds of fish collected in 2 days. And we also was able to show that the anglers, that the commercial fishermen, can not only go in there and harvest these things, but they can do it without hurting the sport fish population. We had very little bycatch, which is bass and crappie, unintended species, caught in the nets.
And how big of a dent will that really make?
One tournament like that really won't make much of a dent, but we actually plan on having a series of these tournaments if we can get the some folks to donate a little bit to us. Donations possible through our website and through the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Foundation website. And well, we've got a lot of people come up to us and say they're going to donate a couple bucks for the next one. And the League of Kentucky Sportsmen was very big in this donating $5,000 for this first tournament. That was our big donor for the tournament. Cabela's had $2,500. But that's what we're going to kind of try to get going. And, you know, if a quarter of our fishermen, who are people who have a fishing license, give us $2, that would be enough to keep these tournaments alive for the next 5 years. So that's how we're going to try to continue it. And also there's a commercial market coming on. A company by the name of Two Rivers is getting started probably around mid-May or so, and that company exports Asian carp and other fish to China, and she is hoping to start out at least with 40,000 pounds a day. And so she's located within about 50 miles of the two big lakes, and with a little creative transportation, I think she'll help those two lakes out a lot.
That was Kentucky Fisheries Director Ron Brooks talking to Michelle O'Neill about Kentucky's Carp Madness Fishing Tournament held last month at Kentucky Lake and Lake Barkley. This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the Friends of WILL and by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, offering more than 3,000 certified organic products, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar, and bulk foods department. Strawberry Fields on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 1st of April, 2013. April Fool's Day, the day for hoaxes. It was on this day in 1976, in an interview on BBC Radio 2, the British astronomer Patrick Moore announced that a very rare event was about to take place. Jupiter and Pluto would soon align in relation to Earth, and their combined gravitational pull would momentarily override Earth's gravity and make people weigh less. He called it the Jovian-Plutonian gravitational effect, and said that if people jumped in the air at exactly 9:47 a.m., they would experience a floating sensation. And at 9:47, Patrick Moore said on the air, "Jump now." And within minutes, the BBC switchboard was flooded with calls from people who claimed that it had worked. It's the birthday of Francine Prose, Brooklyn, 1947, author of many novels and a book of nonfiction, Anne Frank, The Book, The Life, The Afterlife. Most recent novel is My New American Life, about a young Albanian immigrant named Lula, who's working as a nanny in New Jersey trying to get her green card. Francine Prose told an interviewer recently, "I am working on a novel now that began as nonfiction. It takes place in France between 1924 and 1944. And a French person said to me, you know, you're going to have to spend years in the Bibliothèque Nationale checking all the facts." And I thought, no, I'm not. I decided to do it as a novel instead. It was on this day, 1976, Apple was founded. Apple Corporation, by Steve Jobs, his friend Steve Wozniak, and a man named Ronald Wayne, who had worked with Jobs at Atari. They planned to produce and sell Apple personal computer kits, hand-assembled by Wozniak. The company was incorporated the following January, but Ronald Wayne quit after a few weeks, sold his 10% share back to Jobs and Wozniak for a little over $2,000. Had he held onto it, that share would be worth about $22 billion today. Mr. Wayne said later he didn't regret selling the stock. He'd made the best decision he could with the information available to him at the time. And it's the birthday of Rachel Maddow, born in California's Castro Valley, 1973, not far from San Francisco. A Rhodes Scholar, went on to become the host of the Rachel Maddow Show on MSNBC. Rachel Maddow, who is openly gay and who once said, "I'm the unlikely cable news host, but before that, I was the unlikely Rhodes Scholar, and before that, I was the unlikely kid who got into Stanford, and then I was the unlikely lifeguard."